Hello there, and thanks for joining me for the podcast today on the Psychology Report. Panic attacks. Let's talk about panic attacks today. A large number of people experience these surges of anxiety that can almost come out of the blue and overwhelm you, and just feel where you feel overwhelmed and just possessed almost with anxiety. We call them panic attacks. I've treated people who experience panic attacks in their young teenage years, 13, 12, 14, so on. And I've treated people with panic attacks who are 80, 85 years of age. So it's the whole spectrum of life where panic attacks are experienced. Men, women, more men than women. But you get these panic attacks that just kind of impair you because you can't understand them, and you can't control them, and you can't eliminate them and can't prevent them. You feel helpless. So panic attacks usually happen with people who are experiencing situations about which they feel helpless. Usually they're situations that are very anxiety provoking. They create fear. The situations create fear. The situations create a sense of threat. And you are inadequate to handle that. You don't feel you can deal with it. You don't feel that you can contain it or control it or manage it. So it becomes like an overwhelming power in your life that creates this sense of extreme anxiety. Now, that's kind of the essence of it. But what happens is, in this extreme anxiety, is that your whole body reacts. Your whole body responds to this anxiety state. And what it is that you get short breath, hard to breathe. That's because the muscles of your chest constrict, and you can't get that full expansion of your lungs. Your muscles tense up. Your heart rate increases. Your sense of awareness becomes a little bit foggy. Your vision becomes a little bit foggy. And you get that feeling within you that you're going to faint, you're going to have a heart attack, you're going to have a stroke, or something like that's going to happen. You're just going to faint in front of people and be embarrassed. So this is the kind of essence of what takes place in a panic attack. But the main symptom is that sense of suffocation, where you can't breathe, and you think you're going to suffocate. And the reason for that is that the muscles of the throat, the muscles of the chest, the muscles around the lung constricts, and you don't have that normal, natural flow of air that you have under normal circumstances. So you get that constriction of airflow, and that gives you that feeling of suffocation. So that's kind of, and it lasts for a period of time. Most panic attacks last anywhere from 20 minutes to an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And in that period of time, it's just like you're going to die. You're going to faint and pass out, have a stroke, and have a heart attack. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Now let's take a look at really what a panic attack is. Okay, that's the symptoms, that's the pattern, that's the overview of it. But what is a panic attack? Well, here's the deal. You have a hormonal system. You have a lot of hormones in your body. But the primary hormone related to anxiety is the adrenal gland located in your mid-chest. The little location there of a gland that controls the degree of adrenaline that is produced during the course of the day. Now, when that adrenal gland is normal, healthy, functioning well, it just drips a little bit of adrenaline into your bloodstream throughout the day to give you energy, to give you strength, to give you the stamina for the day, you know, just to give you that vitality, that energy that you need for the day. And you need it throughout the day. So that adrenal gland gives adrenaline and just keeps you alive, keeps you alert, keeps you functioning, keeps you aroused sufficiently for the task that you're doing. Now, in the course of the day, if you take on a task that's kind of competitive and that's which requires you to be more challenged, and you need to arise to the occasion and meet that challenge. Then that adrenaline needs, you need more adrenaline. That adrenal gland needs to produce more adrenaline. And the normal gland does that. It senses that you are in a state or in a situation that requires more energy, requires more drive, requires more psychic energy. So it dumps a little bit more adrenaline into the bloodstream to give you that energy for that occasion. If you're going to play football, you're going to play tennis, you're going to play a competitive game, you're going to be challenged in some kind of way, you have to give a speech, you have to give an address in class or whatever it might be, you're going to need a little bit more adrenaline because you need that arousal. So that adrenal gland produces more adrenaline. That's what a healthy adrenal gland does. It's what the healthy hormonal system does. It keeps you in that balance level and that balance point of energy and calmness. And arousal and calmness just keeps you in that mid-range where you can function well. But there are times when you get more adrenaline and you don't need it. In other words, that adrenal gland misfired. That adrenal gland gave you more adrenaline that you need for the occasion. It dumped a whole bunch of adrenaline into your bloodstream. It goes into your heart and throughout your body and throughout your muscular system of the chest and into your lung area, into your throat area, and it makes those muscles tighten up and go into a state of fight or flight, a readiness to respond. But you don't need it because you're not in a football game or you're not playing tennis or you're not giving a speech in front of a class or you're not in a challenging kind of a situation. You're just sitting there reading a book or whatever it might be. So you have way too much adrenaline for what you're doing at the moment. And adrenaline then gives you the symptoms of anxiety. And that's why we call it an anxiety attack, or better known as a panic attack. Because the feeling is one of panic. The panic is related to the fact that you're going to choke up and you won't be able to breathe and you're going to suffocate. And you just have this high level of arousal. So that's what a panic attack is all about. And that adrenal gland will pump adrenaline into your bloodstream, whether you need it or not. But if you don't need it, then you're getting much more adrenaline than you ever will need, and then you will get this backup of this surge of anxiety that I've now just spoken about. So unfortunately, you're in a dilemma kind of situation of having much more adrenaline than you need. And then all these symptom kind of patterns take place. Now, you can do one of two things at that point in time. You can walk, you can exercise, you can jump up and down, you can run, you can bicycle, you can swim, you can do a lot of different kind of exercises. And what that does, it takes the adrenaline out of the bloodstream and just circulates it throughout the body into the muscular system of the body. So when you run or you walk or you bicycle or whatever, all that adrenaline is being now redistributed down into the legs, into the muscles of the legs, out of the heart and out of the lung area and out of the chest area and out of the throat area, and you get relief. It takes about 20 minutes. So that's your answer. Get yourself physically active, redistribute that adrenaline throughout the body, get it into the muscle system, out of the bloodstream, out of the heart, you see, out of the lungs, out of the throat, out of the chest, into the muscle, into the large muscles of the arms, the shoulders, the stomach, and then down into your thighs and your calves through exercise. So you got 20 minutes to do that. Now, if you don't do that, if you want to go lay down, if you think you're going to have a heart attack or something, a lot of people go lay down. Well, you can lay down, that's all right. But it will take about an hour to an hour and a half for that adrenaline to dissipate. Because when you're laying down, your heart slows down, your whole body slows down, and that adrenaline does not dissipate throughout your body very quickly. It takes a longer period of time for it to filter out into the leg muscles or your calves or into your arms or your shoulders and so on. and get out of the heart and get out of the chest and get out of the lung area and get out of the throat area. So it takes a while. It takes about an hour, hour and a half. So if you lay down, what you can do, it just will take longer for that anxiety, that panic attack, to dissipate and go away. You have a choice. So you can be active or you can be inactive. You can be physically exercising or you can go lie down. But it will take 20 minutes one way and it'll take an hour, hour and a half another way. Now, it is possible that an anxiety attack can be multiple. In other words, you can have one and then you can have a second one, and you can have a third one, and you can have a fourth one. If you keep thinking about the threatening situation, if you keep facing the threatening situation, if you don't get out of the threatening situation, so that's the other part of it. You got to, whatever it is, the threatening situation is, get out of it, get away from it, control it, manage it, deal with it, stop it, manage it in some way, so that it doesn't keep on bugging you in terms of having more and more anxiety. So if, in the case of a school kid at school, being bullied, yeah, you go hit the bully in the nose. Stop it. Walk away. Get away from me. Go immediately to the administration and tell them what's going on. Report it. Get it to stop. Do something about it. And then your anxiety will be controlled and be better managed because you're doing something about it. But if you just sit there and take it, it'll just be more and more and more. And it'll last longer. So you have to kind of do something about that thing that is causing the anxiety in the first place, or the panic attack in the first place. It might be the fact that somebody is bullying you, okay, or might bully you today, or you're thinking about it. Oh, if I go to school today and I might be bullied, well, then you're going to start having panic attacks to that, because you're going to anticipate the bully behavior. Or if you have to give a speech in a classroom, and you have a little anxiety about public speaking anyway, yeah, when you have to go to class in the morning and go give a speech in the afternoon or whatever, you're going to feel a little anxiety. And if you don't control that, you're going to get a lot of anxiety and you're going to get a panic attack. So speech making is kind of usually a source of panic attacks for a lot of students. Or you have to deal with somebody that's very critical. You have to deal with somebody who's very demeaning. Now, that can cause you to have a panic attack. You have to face your father. You have to face somebody that you have offended or that you have wronged in some way. And you're going to have to face the music and face some punishment or some criticism. And you know it. Well, before you face that, you're going to feel that anxiety build up. And it can build up to the point of having a panic attack. If it builds up a little bit, it's just kind of a mild level of anxiety, and that's okay. Mild anxiety is good. Moderate anxiety is good. It motivates us. It gets us to be active. It gets us to be organized. It gets us to be performing well and be performance-oriented, and we do well. Football players do well when they have moderate levels of anxiety. They don't do well if they have only little anxiety or no anxiety, and they don't do well if they have excessive anxiety, which is what a panic attack is. So it's that moderate level of anxiety that we want people to have when they are facing difficult situations in their life, because it will motivate them and drive them to deal with it and take care of it in an appropriate way. But excessive anxiety is a panic attack, and then it immobilizes. It just makes you impaired and disabled, you know, for the time. 20 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, whatever it might be. But then when it's gone, it's gone. When the threatening situation is over, it's gone. After the time that you've been able to relax and rest, and then the adrenal gland can now start to function normally again and build up that adrenaline and hold it in like a cup, if you would. Imagine like a cup of adrenaline being held in your chest, and then it just drips a little bit every day throughout the day to give you that adrenaline that you need for the day. Just think about it that way, and that's good. But if you face the tough stuff, you face the threatening situations, then it's like that cup has a big hole in the bottom of it all of a sudden, and all that adrenaline just pours into your bloodstream and overwhelms you. So that's what this is all about. You go to a doctor, they'll give you some medication. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Two medications are usually recommended for panic attacks. One is an antidepressant, Then it was an anti-anxiety. No more than 3 months. Preferably 3 weeks. You take the two of them, and then after a short period of time, you let the anti-anxiety be removed, and you continue the antidepressant for another couple weeks, and then you take that away. But medication and the treatment of a panic attack should be no more than 3 months, and preferably within a matter of 3 weeks to 4 weeks to get this under control. And once you learn what's going on, you're not going to die, you're not going to have a heart attack, you're not going to have a stroke, you're not going to have a seizure, you're not going to pass out. Those are not going to happen. But though you'll feel like they're going to happen, you're going to feel that way, but those things don't happen. The adrenaline just comes to a conclusion before those things would ever take place. And then your body returns to a state of equilibrium, as you probably remember from high school biology. So it comes back to equilibrium and we have homeostasis, okay? Until you get into an anxiety situation again, and then that can reoccur. And if you've had some abuse in your life, if you had some trauma in your life, you've had accidents in your life, you've had injury in your life, particularly to the mid-body, then maybe that adrenal gland has been damaged or ill and ill functions. And if it's damaged, if it's been destroyed, it's been hurt in some way, it'll take a long time to heal. And there are things that you can do to heal that adrenal gland as well. But I'll talk about that another time. But it's there for you to function normally. It's part of your normal functioning system. But when it's damaged or when it's been caused to be malfunctioning, that's when we have these series of these anxiety attacks, or what we call the panic attacks, a series of them. So just kind of take this from it. If you have had anxiety attacks, if you have panic attacks, you can be treated following this formula that I've just outlined. They don't need to go on and on and on and on. You don't need to be on medication forever on these things. You got to learn how to manage, how you got to learn how to control the emotion. You got to learn how to control the flow of adrenaline in your body. You have to understand what adrenaline is and what it is not, and what it will do and what it will not do. And then you can get a sense of control over it, okay? Now, I recommend if you're in panic attacks, see a psychologist. You got to get to a psychologist that knows how to treat panic attacks and knows how, and understands panic attacks and can treat them. Not just every psychologist. Social workers, probably not. Marriage and family counselors, probably not. Get to a psychologist so that you get the right understanding and the right strategies of learning how to deal with a panic attack. So there you are. That's panic attacks. Hope that's been helpful to you. And if you know somebody that has a panic attack, pass this podcast on. Tell them to listen. And maybe they can get some help on it. And I've had other podcasts in my archives on anxiety. You can go back and pick up some of the other ones on anxiety as well. So, but that's all panic attack is. It's an anxiety disorder, okay? Not a heart attack. It's an anxiety disorder that affects the adrenal gland and the production of adrenaline in your body. And it's not good when you have excessive amounts of adrenaline in your body at a time when you don't need it. You're sitting in the library reading, and you don't need a lot of adrenaline for that. So that's what a panic attack's all about. Hey, good to talk to you today. Thanks for joining me. And this has been the Psychology Report. If you'd like to be a sponsor of my program, the Psychology Report, let me know. I'd be glad to have you as a sponsor, because we do it two ways. You can be my sponsor on the podcast and be a sponsor on my television program, Dr. Teach Me to Parent. It's on every Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. At Pacific Standard Time. And you just have to access it by centralvalleytalk.com. Centralvalleytalk.com will get you to the program, Dr. Teach Me to Parent, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock. And I'd be glad to have you listen. You'll pick up some other topics in the area of parenting. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, we'll have you sponsor that program as well. So you get a lot of mileage out of being a sponsor. Not a great deal of cost either, by the way. And get your name out there. Get your name out before the community. And lots of people listen to the podcast. Lots of people listen to the television program, Dr. Teach Me to Parent. So it's on this coming Saturday, which is in 2 days from now, and 10 o'clock in the morning, centralvalleytalk.com. Okay? Nice to have you with me. Bye-bye.